or brilliant, one or the other.
Welcome, everybody, to the Ramblecast. We're joined with some guys that don't really contribute much.
Can we get Lady Gaga to do the song?
Matt just left, yeah.
Yeah.
She was the one thing, though, I felt was weak with the film. And I was glad that they saved her song towards the end. I just kind of felt it felt out of place.
Wait. You guys just jumped in. You went like zero to zero.
It was very Skyfall-ish.
Yeah, so, that's what I mean. Yeah, it just kind of didn't really.
Well, at that point, like my call sign is tissue.
You guys have already like started talking Top Gun, so let's just pump the brakes. Well,
Jack brought it up. He said Lady Gaga. So.
Okay.
I just said, whoa, Nelly. I'm getting blamed.
All right. So
Lady Gaga has more than one song.
So three of your Ramblecast hosts have seen the new Top Gun Maverick film, and one host has not. So we can't get too far into.
No, you guys can discuss it. I just think we should preface this for anybody else that's just joining us.
God damn it, Maverick!
We're talking spoilers here.
I mean,
I would have liked to have seen it, especially with my dad over the weekend visiting with him, but. Timing wise, it just didn't happen.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really hoping to, because the number of times that I saw this movie, Top Gun, in the theater with my dad growing up, just endless. Like probably 10 times he took me. Solid.
Really? Yeah.
So
back then, did they have the old piano player off the side, like playing along with it? You know?
Yeah.
And they had they put up the words.
Hitting the eyeball with the paper airplane. You're like, son of a bitch, this is so real.
I say we do a flyby.
In those days, they were like, oh, we need to shoot it against clouds to make it look like it's moving against something.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, we won't get too far into this.
No, go ahead. I will remove myself from this conversation. No. You guys...
Stop. We won't get too far into spoilers.
No.
But
when Maverick dies...
I couldn't believe it. But I think that what we could do is that we could just go around and say what we, you know, two thumbs up, our ratings for it, and kind of either get Matt pumped up or completely disappointed.
Huh?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Two very big thumbs up. For me, the movie was a 10 out of 10. I loved every second of that movie. I even didn't mind the Lady Gaga bits, but I thought from start to finish, like literally the first bong as they go into the intro music, I went from fucking six to midnight real quick. Like I got real excited, and then from that point forward, I was just along for a ride. And like I thought they did such a good job of knowing exactly what the fuck the movie was. You know what I mean? Like they knew what they were doing. They followed the shtick. You know, Nick, this might be like a New Hope / The Force Awakens situation for you, but I think they did a really good job with it. I thought like the overall themes were kept really tight. The casting was fantastic. The direction was incredible. I mean, you're looking at all the in-air, you know, footage that they filmed. It lived up to the hype. And for me, I can't wait to go back and see it in IMAX. I'm going to see it again for sure.
Yeah, I definitely get where you would make that assumption about me hating it for like the...
Drawing the parallels.
The parallels, yeah. But like to me, like it was one of those where it did have parallels, but it was those were good parallels. You don't have to put me front and center. I was
there you go. I thought they did a really nice job with
the parallels. They did a good job because like the ones to me, the parallels to me that they did were, you know, it's like Great Balls of Fire. Like it wasn't cheesy. It's fine, you know. And like, you know, and then of course like Jack's saying, like, you know, like the God damn it, Maverick, like, you know, like things like that you kind of expect, you know. There were some things I wanted a little bit more, you know. I wish we could have gotten a little bit more of the conflict, the tension between Rooster and Maverick.
Yeah.
But I agree. Like I still think the first one is just slightly better than this one, but I would never say.
If there's someone named Rooster, did they come to snuff the rooster? Did they play that Alice in Chains song? No.
Okay. You didn't want to be spoiled.
Actually, I think the call signs in this movie, if I'm going to bitch about one thing, it's going to be the call signs. The call signs were weak in this movie compared to the first. Yeah, we got Bob. You got
You know who's the actor who played Bob? Who's his dad?
Is it Anthony Edwards?
Yeah.
Oh. I don't know.
Bill Pullman?
Oh, Bill Pullman. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Really?
Yes, that's his dad. No, I mean, that's his son.
Interesting.
But you go from Iceman and Maverick.
Am I freezing up, or is it everybody else?
No, it's you. I think you got a little bit of a little bit of the mic.
Let me log out. And I'll come back in.
Cool.
Yeah. Put a mask on. Sometimes that helps protect.
I didn't hear anyone's call sign, but like, that's a badass call sign. You know, you went from Viper to Jester to Maverick to Ice, and like I was like, oh yeah, I'm Rooster. I'm like, really? That's the one you settled on? I'm like, all right.
My name's Vortex.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it needs to have some. Ugh,
well, that was a call sign, wasn't it?
What?
Was Vortex? It Vortex? No.
You had Phoenix. That's me. None of them were really memorable aside from Bob.
Yeah. Bob was great. Yeah. So I mean, I thought they did such a great job with the whole direction of the film too, because you got to see some really cool things we haven't seen.
Hangman was a pretty cool name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hangman was cool. But you got to see some pretty cool shots that they could not have done had it been like CGI completely. They had some really good shots, and they did a nice job with it. I think that the opening scene, the opening conflict that you see Maverick and Rooster, just Franklin, the opening conflict in the air between Rooster and Maverick was awesome. Like, it was really fucking intense. I'm not going to spoil it, but I remember watching it being like, oh, so that's how this is going to go. Like, it's interesting.
Actually, one of my favorite scenes was towards the end, and I won't spoil it, Matt, I won't spoil anyone, but it's like, you know how Maverick's move in the first one is always, hit the brakes, he'll fly right by. We see a version of that, but it's a twist on that. And I think everybody was like, whoa, like that was cool. Like, and that, I like that. That was one of my, I'm always, just cause I spot things. I spot it in the original when the cameras are attached to the aircraft, the same thing. I can always spot the camera on the back of the F-18s. I'm like, oh, there's the camera right there. Other than that, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed, Penny Marshall, whatever her name, his love interest in this film. I like that she was
Jennifer Connelly. Amazing.
I didn't realize she had such pretty eyes. 51 years old.
She is still smoking hot.
Smoke show.
I never realized her eyes were so, she has pretty eyes.
Yeah. I never noticed until this movie how weird Tom Cruise's teeth are over to the left just a little bit compared to his nose. I'm like, why is his nose broken?
I think he's broken his nose a few times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you a little fun fact is that they were interviewing Hangman, and they were asking about the sports scene. And he said that like all of them knew that scene was going to be shot, it was coming up. And so like for the 2 weeks prior to filming that scene, the insecurities pop in, like, this is going to be on film forever.
They all got ripped.
Yeah. So I said they were all just hitting the gym nonstop.
I assume this is like a shirtless curling scene.
Yeah. It's a football scene on the beach. Yeah. Okay. Kind of similar to the volleyball scene.
I assumed that there was kind of like, if you have tit for tat,
Because I think Top Gun has moved to Point Loma, if I'm not mistaken. It's no longer Miramar. It's Point Loma, I believe. I could be wrong.
He said that, they all were hitting the gym. They went out, it shot the scene. He said then, like, immediately, as soon as they were done, they all went and just binged, ate, drank shit tons of beers. And then a week went by. And then Tom Cruise called them all back up, like, we're shooting it again. It's not good enough. And they're like, God damn it.
Well, they also said Tom Cruise sent them all like this great coconut cake or something like that. And they're all like, oh, we got to film this again. And they're like, oh, but it tastes so good.
Right.
Huh.
But my turn.
I thought you already talked about it. Jeez, we got all
these. I did not. But what I'm, I have Dick's tissues here. Well, I'm watching it. Well, Dick's tissues. I didn't realize you changed my name. Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
I because we have our little thread going, and Nick said once it got past the lull, I said, "Where's the lull?" I was like, "Okay, I'm waiting for the lull. I'm waiting for the
No. So in the first act. There is like once you get past the opening scene.
He doesn't like slow beginnings.
That's kind of like a spike, you know. And then you have like
He's single. He needs to get it and get in there and get it quick, you know. Like slower episodes of shows is just too much.
It's a movie about fighter pilots. Give me fucking fighting, you know.
I think because one of the things it said in this movie, he had to have a love interest in this one. I don't want to spoil the line, but if you go back and listen to one of the lines, he has to have a love interest. There has to be a reason, but I don't want to spoil anyone. But I thought it was absolutely fantastic. There's a guy sitting, and I'm at Alamo where you can't talk.
Right.
And there's a guy two seats over from me going. Whole time I'm just kind of laughing at him, but he's just. I thought like you guys talked about the flying scenes were just superior. I mean they were just
They're great. Yeah.
Oh,
they're...
Chris, you're muted.
But no, what I mean about
but here's the other thing too. Like this is not really giving anything away, other than the fact that Top Gun Maverick is a combination of Top Gun and Star Wars.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
Do they go to the space station and
they do them? The fucking trench run, dude?
Oh, right, right. Yeah, it's
just Star Wars.
Yeah, the whole time I went, stay on target.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'm gonna let that slide.
Straight up Star Wars. Like they completely ripped off the trench run, and I was okay with it. I thought it was great. Yeah.
Again, it was almost like the Death Star. There was almost no way it could be destroyed.
Yeah.
Right. But I thought it was. I thought the guy that played. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Barry. The guy that played Rooster, who is somebody's son, looked just like him. I thought he has mannerisms
such
down.
A good job.
It was. I said, "This is fantastic." I go, "This is great job." I thought that Jennifer Connelly worked better than Kelly McGillis. I thought it was just more believable. I don't know why. I just never saw Cruise and McGillis together.
It's because because there wasn't really a romantic chemistry there because she was like supposed to be older, I think, than him. And,
yeah.
You know, it did kind of feel awkward sometimes in watching the original.
Yeah. I mean, this one felt real. We do find out what happened to a few of the other characters. I did tear up. I'll be honest. I did tear up.
At the end?
I say in the middle and the end.
Oh, the middle. Okay.
In middle and the end. I thought. right now, Matt is Lego Jack.
I think they're making a Top Gun set. So.
Yeah. That, like I said, there was. I wanted to see it. I want to see it again. I mean, it was one of those movies. Like, oh my God, this is so well done, and like I said, John Hamm. Can anyone play an asshole better than John Hamm?
It was great. He did a great job.
I mean, he was an asshole that was over the top asshole, like a lot of Clint Eastwood movies where the guy's just a complete unrelatable asshole. I mean, he was doing,
I think he's doing his job.
But he comes across as an asshole because he doesn't, if it weren't for a certain admiral.
Right. But that's what I mean. Like, you know, Iceman in the first one is an asshole. But when you start thinking about his logic, he's completely right. You know, all of his worries are warranted.
Right.
Yeah.
Nick's hoping that people will make that same comment about him when they listen to the podcast.
Yeah. I hate Nick.
In the first
right.
50 seasons of the RCAD.
I'll tell you though, that got me. I mean, it's no surprise. I think everybody knows the fact that Val Kilmer plays a role in the movie. and fuck, man,
it's good.
No,
it lends weight. It's for his limitations, you know, it not only is it a cameo-ish, but his entire purpose in the film has a purpose.
Yes.
Right? So that's what makes it good. And it's when it comes back to John Hamm later, you're like it makes like it.
It makes sense. But yeah. seeing him.
Yeah.
And even the voice that he had wasn't his.
No, right. I heard about this. Yeah. All right.
It was sad. Like it actually made me sad. Like,
but how they tied it in,
it was perfect.
I mean, I was like, okay, that was brilliant. Yeah. How they mm-hmm. tied that in. I mean, to bring him into the movie and have it work. Cause I know when Maverick goes to the house. I'm like, well, who's this? Cause I didn't know. I couldn't recognize the woman, you know? Anyway, you guys were talking about how, I think Nick said he could have done more with a scene about what the friction was between Rooster and Maverick. But I think the whole time I'm thinking it's this,
but it's not. Yeah, yeah.
But it turns out to be something completely different. And then why he did it, you're like going, okay.
Yeah, right. there's that scene where Jennifer Connelly confronts him about it. And it was like, the lesser of two evils, essentially.
Right. So it's like, okay, all right.
And I was like, damn, Maverick's a good dude.
Yeah. Well, I think Maverick was always a good dude. He just he just wants to do things his way. And there's no better pilot than Maverick. I mean, you have the 12
Luke
people that
Skywalker. Just going to say it.
No, I think Maverick takes him out. Because the 12 pilots, they're graduates of Top Gun.
Right.
It wasn't like when he was going there and, you know, they were learning how to dogfight.
They
were graduates of Top Gun, and he was still leaps and bounds better than them. So it's just, plus he doesn't want anyone to die because he still remembers, oh no, Goose. Oh no. Oh no. So, and you can see that scene, spoiler. But I highly, if you like action and you like to sit and be entertained for it was a long movie, wasn't it?
Because
when you think it's over, it's not. There's another at least 20-25 minutes left of the movie.
Yeah, you know, and here's the thing too, is that there's actually like an act, I guess, or a sub act, if you will, in like towards the end where you're like, are they gonna do this? Fuck, yep, they're doing this.
Yep.
And I was like, and I'm okay with it. Yeah. This is fucking fun as shit. Damn, like, let's go.
I mean, it was funny because we're at the Alamo.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, too.
They usually bring your check with about 20 minutes, 25 minutes left in the movie. I'm like going, okay, this can't be the end of the movie because I haven't got my check yet.
Right.
So, but anyway, it was, it's funny. I know it's just because it's fresh, but I just watched Top Gun, the original, about a week ago or a week and a half ago. I think it's better than the first one.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of those things because it's probably fresh in my mind, and I was just blown away how good it was.
Well, I will say that there's so much more to the story, this time around, no doubt. But I mean, like, I think that aside from Iron Eagle, you know, there was no movie that did anything close to what Top Gun did back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Right. Iron Eagle. And that's quite frankly because the U.S. government funded the fucking movie. There was so much money I pumped into it.
But that kid, Iron Eagle, I forgot he couldn't act. They were showing they were showing clips from that at the Alamo. And why I go, it's Golden Eagle, Iron Eagle. Something like that.
Iron Eagle is so bad. But
you have Lou Gossett Jr. I think he's in this. And they showed him. The kid did have good hair. Yeah. I will say that. I think he was only hired for the part because he was pretty. I don't know if he did anything else. Maybe
is
Iron
the same
Eagle
dude
too?
From
Last Starfighter,
yeah.
Oh, is it?
Same guy?
No. Chris, I legit was like, oh, in my mind it is, but it probably is not. No.
Anyway,
there was just like,
go see Top Gun Maverick.
Back
you
in the 80s, they just
not
had
be disappointed.
Like, people
but
that
what
with
I,
that
what
hair
I,
on
what
the
I,
shelf.
Yeah. What I mean by lulls is, you know, you have the first spike in the movie with, you know, what Tom Cruise is doing, you know, but then what leads him to Top Gun. So you get the whole conflict with John Hamm, him setting up his romantic interest.
I fucking know the plot now.
The rooster. You know, that's saying, like, there's like three different, you know, plot setups.
And then when he says, sit on it, Potsy, it's like the best.
Then you have the other one as well with Val Kilmer. So it's like, and before anything really starts to happen. And so it's not until the funeral scene to where it finally starts like, now we're fucking off into the races. Because like, after that on, it's awesome.
Right.
Another thing too is Ed Harris playing more dick parts.
Ed Harris is a bit role for him too. That
movie. And he was in that movie for like 5 seconds, and he probably
Ed Harris has got to be getting old too.
Well, he's fantastic, and
I love Ed Harris.
He used to be, you know, happy go lucky. As time goes on, he's gotten older. He's become, as he's lost all his hair, he's just a bad guy now.
That's usually what happens.
Yeah, I know.
I know another guy like that used to be happy-go-lucky, and now he's just a dick.
Speaking of lulls, let's go ahead and take that commercial
break.
Last week's episode, there was no commercial breaks thrown in there, so Jack just kept saying commercial break, and then there was no commercial break. So,
right.
So, yes, Randy, I did eat the dog food from last week, so there you go.
And you know what?
Are you sure? Jack, no, we had a commercial break last week. 36-38.
It wasn't.
Jack,
put in
you
there.
Must be super excited to talk about this next topic.
Let's do it.
We have another topic.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Val Kilmer is also going to be in the new Willow.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how.
But he's going to be in it. Yeah.
I think I was talking to my buddy the other night. I go, I think 2022 might be his year. To get a couple headlines. I don't think he's gonna last in this year.
He's trying to curse him.
Come on, man.
He looks like shit.
That's what happens when you have a shit ton of radiation therapy. You kind of. Anyway, what was the next topic, Chris? What are we gonna talk about?
Jack's favorite genre of TV and or films. Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I watched the first episode today. I didn't realize there were two.
Oh, okay. So you just got through the first episode.
I didn't have time to watch the second one, but go ahead and talk about it.
You can talk about it, Jack.
Yeah, I will.
You watched the first episode.
I think Nick and I had a very similar, first take on the first episode.
I don't know. Nick's was a little bit more of a petulant child. Yours was like a little bit more just kind of like this was slow.
So I was bored as shit. With episode one,
I liked the first episode. Jay and I both enjoyed it.
But Jay's not going to hate anything.
Jay likes everything.
Jay likes everything. Yeah, Jay likes.
You can have a frog farting on a log, and Jay would go, "That's really good."
It was amazing.
Jay would actually give you a slide presentation of how the frog was farting and why it was important.
Right.
There's
definitely the allure of the fact that, oh, hey, we're getting some fucking content with Obi-Wan, who we haven't seen on the screen in 20 years, right? So there was something cool about that. And I think that anybody who watched Clone Wars and, you know, all the animated shows has a little bit more of a close connection to Obi-Wan than other people do. Like, I think we'd all do. We watched all the cartoons. We talk about it. I mean, every once in a while, I'm on a podcast that you guys are on and talk about that type of shit, too.
I'm never invited.
So it was great to have him back on the screen, but he was a little bit Kanan Jarrus, if you know what I'm talking about, for the first 45 minutes of the show.
No, sorry.
Let me finish my thought before you jump in like a petulant child, to use your words. Matt.
Okay, go ahead, you know.
But it was just boring. I get it. They're trying to build up the story. But guess what? He's been gone for 10 years, and that story's been being built. Let's just jump into it with Kenobi. But here's one thing that I did not expect, and it was kind of a pleasant surprise because I didn't follow any spoilers. I didn't see anything about the show. And that was the introduction of a character that I had no idea that this show was going to focus on. Yeah. And that was Leia.
I was shocked, too.
And I was like, that's interesting.
Were you pleasantly surprised, Jack?
Kathy Kennedy lied to us. She said they weren't going to recast any of the.
But then I thought, I got to thinking, and I'm like, did that just fuck up the canon? Because why the fuck would she not recognize or know who the fuck Obi-Wan Kenobi was when she's talking to R2 in A New Hope? And then all of a sudden now she's like,
she has no. Oh, she has no idea who
shit, she doesn't know.
He looks completely different.
Been 10 years.
She has no idea what Obi-Wan Kenobi looks like. No clue.
But she didn't even know the fucking name of the guy in A New Hope. But she spent all this time with him being saved.
I'm saying that she doesn't know Obi-Wan Kenobi and Ben are the same person. He never says that, like, what his last name is.
I find that hard to believe personally. But I will say.
I mean, it's not like there's a Wikipedia entry and
I was trying to remember.
She's like, oh, okay, that's who Obi-Wan Kenobi is, and this is who Ben is, because she doesn't.
Fair, but here's my other thing. The only other more bizarre casting that they've done for Star Wars in the last 5 years, outside of Bill Burr, it's been fucking Flea. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
why is Flea in this role?
Yeah. Flea does take you out of it for a moment there, because you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, like, what's
Flea?
Too recognizable.
I assumed he died too, but even his death was weird, because, like, it's just kind of spinning, and then I was like, what's going on here?
So.
Oh, Flea, is he the other Flea, Jedi?
Flea, no, he's the bad guy that kidnaps.
You might not have seen him yet.
Oh,
Jack.
Okay.
That's episode two.
No, like Flea kidnaps.
I don't know who Flea is.
He's the bass player for Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Part one.
Oh, okay.
Part one, the person that kidnaps the girl. So.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's Flea. Okay,
yeah. Right.
He can't run. He can't run where shit though, because the girl's only four and he can't catch up.
I thought that was funny. They couldn't catch her. Yeah. She jumped under a stick and they couldn't catch her
because she had.
This log is too confusing.
This log is so big. Fuck. Can't go okay. long. But anyways,
yeah. Go ahead.
Getting into to part two, things mm-hmm. pick up a little bit, and I really wanted him to get busted for stealing meat from the goddamn packing line.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what was that?
Like, how he, dude, Jedis don't steal, you know, unless you're from what's it,
Jedi
from fucking...
finished.
It's like so obvious to me. He's like,
hey,
okay, now he's down my shirt.
Yeah, I was trying to figure that out because
this ritual of wrapping up
because you have the one guy that only got half pay.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, they're being, you know, how's he able to cut the meat? You know,
I told Jay, I think that is where. Gas station sushi comes from. That's why he feeds it to his animal, the Yopi. He's like, I don't trust this shit. I myself am only going to eat.
Okay,
eat
what was he stirring? But what was he stirring up? He was some.
He had some stew. It was like.
But what was in that stew? That was
it's Campbell's Chunky.
Okay.
Probably.
my last little bitter thing I noticed.
That's a throwback though to the portions, you know, from Force Awakens, when she's like selling stuff, you know, the quarterback.
There were so many like different connections to Rey and Kenobi. Yeah. You're just like, are we retconning this now?
Did you see on one of the trains that he took to and from work? Mm-hmm. It appears to be either Boba Fett or a clone.
I did not see
on the boat.
No, on the boat.
I need to watch.
I've watched that boat scene. I've watched those boat ships.
Yeah,
the boat scenes in the part one.
I think so.
Or
yeah,
part two.
Oh, but the one thing I really liked sounds sadistic to say I really liked it, but I thought it was a really. I think we were texting about in our group thread, about how the veteran.
Yeah, it was cool.
Panhandling. Oh my gosh! I thought that was
one of the best scenes. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting take on like a sick. Mirroring of reality, really, but I thought it was interesting. Anyways, I'll take a step back and let you guys talk.
No, I'll let Nick shit on it, and then I'll talk about it. So
there was a big lull in the beginning.
No, like to me, I actually probably would have liked episode one a lot more if they didn't spoil it through the trailers, because like all the cool stuff that happened in the first episode was shown in the trailers, like with Uncle Owen confronting Obi, like all the stuff. So I actually wanted it to be a little bit more grittier. I would have liked to have seen almost like a fat Thor Obi-Wan, you know, just kind of like depressed, drinking some blue milk. You're like, used to be a Jedi, but I'm not, you know. And then like you get like a Rocky montage, like when he gets confronted and like he's all working out to get back in shape. No, I'm kidding. That would have been horrible.
No, I talked about this specifically. He does need a montage, like part mm-hmm. part three, for those that have seen part one and two, like he needs a montage, some kind of forced montage, so that he can get better at
exactly.
But you know, it's funny, he is like Rocky in Rocky 3. Remember, Rocky, he's lost his confidence. Clubber Lang has knocked him out, and he's like, you know, hey, I can't save the kid. I'm not the same guy. I'm not the same guy.
Well, he goes,
I'll do it tomorrow. There is no tomorrow. There is no tomorrow.
There's two scenes that really show you how broken he is, and that scene where he's just like, I'm not the same person. He's not doing the most altruistic thing.
Thanks for not telling on me.
And then the other moment that I really enjoyed was that moment where he's in the cave and you're expecting Qui-Gon to show up, but there is no Qui-Gon. Mm-hmm. It's just dark and lonely. And I like the spaciousness of the first part because it shows us how isolated he is. It's the psyche of Kenobi. Mm-hmm. And when you watch A New Hope, you know, it's a lot more of a spacious, drawn out, kind of slower opening than any of the movies. Partially because it was made in the 70s, but go ahead, Jack.
What I was trying to figure out was with Luke being, how old is Luke and when he
They're both 10. Yeah, because it's 10 years later. 10 years after they were born.
She's 10?
She's 10. Mm-hmm. They're both 10 years after they were born.
She didn't look 10.
I thought she looked a little bit younger than 10. I didn't think she looked.
Yeah, she's probably good at 8.
And so how old is Luke in A New Hope?
They're 19. Both supposed to be 19. So this is 10 years, 9 years before.
So in 9 years, Obi-Wan ages a lot.
Well, sure, yeah, but
Force Lightning's a bitch.
You just have to accept that these.
Am I right? Because I was sitting there going, okay.
Well, yeah,
he looks older. But in New Hope,
twin sons.
Dude is old, man.
In the desert.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, look how much Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru age. They went from like young to like grizzly to grizzle, like in just a few.
I thought Uncle Owen looked the same as the guy in the New Hope.
No,
I thought they were getting really close to. I mean,
except a little thinner and
yeah. But I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect, and I think that's where we kind of is this show the best Star Wars that we're getting? No,
no.
Okay, like there's some aspects of it that fall short with special effects and both visual, you know, CGI as well as like the actual physical like makeup and masks that we keep getting with Aliens. Am I frustrated by that? It is what it is. I think of it seriously like Star Wars Animated. And when Star Wars Animated started out, it wasn't the best animation by any stretch.
No.
And it continually got better. And so I'm in for a penny, in for a pound with the Star Wars series. And I felt like Kenobi was still light years ahead of what we got with Book of Boba Fett in the first four episodes.
I agree that it's better definitely than Book of Boba Fett. But then I was really irked with how bad the CGI was because this is Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's Disney. It ain't like they ain't got the money.
Yeah, I know, but I think that they rushed it because they wanted to get this out. And I think it was rushed.
I did notice some of the CGI was kind of
CGI is bad. And like there's especially on Alderaan when you see them standing around, you can tell that they're standing on a set and everything behind them is a green screen.
Yeah,
like you can see actually basically where they cut it, like where the green screen is.
I'm willing to just kind of give them a pass because I want more, and I want more story of these.
But you can still be critical of it.
I can still be critical of it.
Like,
still be critical of it.
We all want more of it. I even said before the show started, this better be the best fucking show ever.
And I think that there's other CGI that they probably spent more time on and more budget on that's coming down.
Right. That's why I haven't completely shit on this yet, because it's like I'm fully expecting it to be like a lot of stuff, and that it kind of starts off a little weak, and then by the end I'm gonna be like, fuck yeah, you know.
I enjoyed it though. I thought it was only thing I was jealous I'm not a Jedi because he can find something in the middle of a desert he buried. 10 years ago, I can't find my keys in the kitchen.
He had GPS on it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just like going.
He had an iPod little tracker.
Yeah, a little tracker.
Let me ask you guys a question, and maybe this hasn't been told yet in the show, but what's his name? The guy from Pied Piper.
Silicon
Valley.
The faux Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, the fake Jedi.
Is this in the second one?
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
Yes, the second one.
So,
sorry, slight spoilers there for you, Jack.
At one point,
he's a con man. Yeah.
Yeah, at one point, his little henchman comes up and it's like, hey, you know, here, look at this. And they show us like the wanted thing, a lot of money, blah, blah. Well, that's embarrassing. Let's go get him, right? And he was like, gonna go hunt him down, and then he helped him off planet.
Yeah.
So is that like a longer con there?
I think it was just a red herring meant to throw us off thinking that he's, you know, and
I hate red herrings.
And you have that morality, like his. And I talked with Jay about this. He invited me on his show. Okay, guys, like, all right, look.
Yeah, it's just like Jay to like start a podcast called Jay and Jack, and then leave it, and then be like, I want one for myself, but I'll ask the same people.
Except Jack. Jesus Christ.
I'm just fucking with you.
That's okay. He's not listening.
He isn't listening.
But anyway, Geek Dad Life. I spoke with Jay.
Well, you don't get to plug his show on here.
Why not? I was on it. Fuck's sake.
Did you not catch the thread? This is a shit on Jay podcast.
I wasn't even asked.
I missed that. Well, Jack.
I think technically I was.
When Nick is away on vacation, you're more than welcome to come on Owen and Brews. So when he comes back, you'll have to. We can only have three people on Owen and Brews at a time. So,
did you guys catch in the second? Jack didn't obviously because he hasn't watched the second episode yet. In the second episode, the young girl that gives Owen the spice, that's Ewan McGregor's real daughter.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Is it?
And Mark Hamill also makes a cameo. He just walks by in one of the scenes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I saw he posted about that. So nice. The little drug dealer girl is his daughter?
That's his daughter. Mm-hmm. His real daughter. Yeah.
Huh. How old is Ewan McGregor?
He's like, this is a perfect marriage of Train Spotting and Star Wars. Like the two things that really launched my career.
Where's the baby on the wall?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, he could have totally been Fat Thor, like hanging out in his cave, like doing spice. You know, like,
we don't need Fat Thor, because here's the thing, okay? You show a used up Jedi, and then people are mad that you get a used up Jedi. So the second episode was closer to a Clone Wars episode, which is why I think a lot of fans like kind of, you know, like, you know, they were like, oh, okay. There certain aspects like Obi-Wan finding the fake Jedi, flushing him out, and just kind of like the whole morality tale of that. And then the whole like trying to save this girl, you know, and on a mission, you know. So but anyway, I don't want to get into like too much of like what's coming down, because we're getting a new episode tomorrow. So by the time people hear this
tomorrow,
it's being released.
On Wednesday. I thought it was gonna be Friday. That's a treat.
No, they moved it to Friday, but then that's why they gave us two.
Can we have a commercial?
Hey, all right.
You sat through 20 minutes of Top Gun talk, okay?
Because Top Gun was exciting.
They don't like Legos, even though Optimus Prime released tonight at midnight.
Now, why do you think Stranger Things should stop? I've seen the first.
It's fucking getting old.
How many episodes have you watched of the new season?
I think I'm on like five or six at this point.
Okay.
Oh yeah. So when you watch seven, you'll be like, like seven's good.
Okay. Because I'm at episode three or four.
I'm on episode two.
Basically, this whole seven, these first seven, like all of them, all six are just build up till seven.
I will say that when you guys watch it, that was there a disclaimer at the beginning of it?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
I said they were
really smart to do that.
Very much so.
Because it was pretty much, but I won't spoil anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad they
if you watch Stranger Things, you'll see a disclaimer up before the first episode, because it has some themes that are very realistic to things that are happening in real life now. And it's a good thing that did that.
But I thought is it gorier than it used to be?
All right.
I mean,
I don't think so.
No, it's always. I mean, it's just. But
as far as kids being,
well, they're
definitely. Yeah, but I mean, like some of the things, I mean, definitely are terrifying. Like
they've done a different '80s, you know, story type, and so the first one was very much Stephen King. The first season, second season is more like action '80s, like so because you have like a very much Aliens type. Feel to that season. Third season, it's more harder to define, but this one is definitely 80s horror for sure. It's why you have Freddy Krueger as Hannibal Lecter. I mean, yeah. Come on, it's like it's,
yeah, that was what's his name, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was awesome.
I thought what was I gonna say?
You're gonna say shit. I'm getting too old for this.
Robert Englund.
Yeah,
Robert Englund.
John's saying the same amount of gore, and Kim is basically saying way seemed, too scary.
It just seemed like it was younger. The people dying were younger. Maybe, I don't know.
In this one?
And I still don't see the mom and dad together. I know it's only been two episodes. She has the 80s frizz, and he's just got Oh, the guy that plays the king of the hell, what's it, the Hellfires, Hellraisers, the dungeon. Mm-hmm. I thought it was Pauly Shore. I go, God, is that Pauly Shore's son? I go, he looks just like Pauly Shore. I looked up, it's not. So,
see, my thing is, I liked him the best.
Yeah.
And then he's non-existent.
No, he didn't. Yeah.
Well, I mean, for the most part. He's.
Well, I mean, that's to me the only thing I'm kind of halfway complaining about with this season is that the main kids are hardly in it this season. They're paying attention to the ones that came later because, like, you hardly ever see Eleven's boyfriend or the one that got kidnapped in this first season. Like, they're.
Mike?
Mike, Will. Yeah. You don't Will hardly see Mark. Yeah. You don't it's hardly Will. See Mike and Will at all this season.
Okay. I've only made it through the first three episodes, but like Mike and Will's relationship, so slight spoilers. It's just there's this really funny moment where, like, in the first three episodes, where you're just like, dude, I remember when you were worried about this asshole, and now you're just kind of like he's not even there. He's a ghost to you.
This is Will and Mike every episode.
What?
Oh. They never smile. Their characters never smile. Mike is a downer. I'm sorry. Mike is a downer.
Yeah.
Oh, and what's his name? Kim's getting into some fighting words with John here, which is kind of so she said bullshit. Yeah. I watched it and had to turn it off. So yeah.
So what's his name? What's the basketball player's name?
LeBron James.
Look,
Kyrie Irving.
I'm rubbish with names, but yeah. I know you're talking about
that kid grew like five years in like overnight.
He's 21.
All of them are old. Yeah. I think the youngest one is the one that's used to have no front teeth. You know,
yeah.
He's 19. You think he's the youngest one?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he's the youngest.
That was fucking funny. That was a funny line when he was like, "I'm gonna hit you so hard, your teeth are gonna fall out." And he goes, "Dude,
yeah,
That was a funny line.
I haven't seen that part yet.
Yeah, it's I'm enjoying it so far. I'm just glad that there's more Stranger Things. It just seems like it's taken so long. I still secretly kind of hope or wished that they would have done the flash forward where, like, you see these kids older and you know, it's like you got to go back one more time kind of thing. Like, that was one of their plans, I guess, the Duffer Brothers, was that they were supposedly going to do a kind of almost like It, where these kids in the first season, you know, the second season was supposed to be like, here they are older and they're going back to deal with the trauma of what they left behind. So
I do have a question. In the first, is it the first episode where Winona Ryder is going to smash the doll? And she has the tank. Why was the neighbor so freaked out? I don't get it. I
think they just had to make Winona Ryder like characters seem crazy. And by the way, that's the way that you decide to open. I mean, like, you got a fucking hammer. Just put it in a bag and smash it.
Well, she was worried about explosives.
Yeah, she wanted to explode or like have any like chemical agents or something like that.
I guess so. The 80s. But I was like, I go,
why is that neighbor so freaked out? Mm. I thought there'd be heroin in it, but that was just me.
If Winona Ryder was living in my neighborhood, I'd be scared. She'd clipped a maniac. I'd be like, shit.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice, Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, I know. For real. I would have no problem with Winona.
I gotta say what one of my beefs of the show is that the stoner kid.
Long hair, the pizza. Okay.
Like, fucking give it a rest. Like, he was too over the top.
It's way over the top,
and it's fucking
not even realistic at this point.
I mean, did you guys get the OP reference?
Yes, okay. I did. The Ocean Pacific. Oh, it's just a cheap knockoff.
Yeah,
that was actually pretty funny. I had some Ocean Pacific gear back in the day
for sure.
Really?
I mean, yeah. I had some.
Even though I lived in the Atlantic.
At that point, I was living on the West Coast.
North Atlantic.
Yeah.
I had my OPs and my bird wells and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Another show or movie that I checked out over the weekend, even though I didn't get to go see Top Gun, I watched the George Carlin documentary special.
Oh, is that good?
Yes, it was really good.
I fell asleep watching the first one. I have to go back and check it out.
I think it can be easily done just because there's a lot there, and they're showing you. There's even writing that they're showing you at times, in which.
Yeah.
But super thorough, and the way that Apatow and the crew that he has that like edited that together, where they're taking pieces of like all of these different interviews from his life and weaving it together to tell you the story of his early life all the way up through
George Carlin is brilliant.
What's up?
I got to see him twice.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I never saw him at all.
It's really fascinating to watch his evolution, because it showcases what a true artist he was. Mm-hmm. You know, in the regards to the fact that his craft, yes, there were these things that he was pursuing in his life.
Did it upset you to see a true artist?
He wanted to be like Danny Kaye. Like that was like this thing.
Really?
That he was like, yeah, that was one of the things that he was striving to. So spoilers.
You might want to have to explain who Danny Kaye is to the kids.
I don't need to explain who Danny fucking Kaye is. They can watch Christmas Vacation.
He used to be on the Seattle Mariners.
But the fact that where his life led him and on this other path that he like, I guess, pursued, you know, it's like you can see that he constantly questioned or like, you know, challenged himself. But he also wasn't like a nonstop rat-a-tat-tat, you know, Robin Williams guy. Like, I mean, he wasn't like 24/7. Like he had these periods where I felt went inward, you know, or dealt with like kind of like self-actualization, or like he was a true artist in that way, that it wasn't just, and I'm not putting down Robin Williams. I'm just saying that he is a different type of comedic genius where it's just, I mean, he was like a true Mozart where it's just pouring out of his like, right. You know,
Robin Williams was freelance.
And I mean, I think a lot of comedians wouldn't even, you know, compare themselves to him just because of his level. But that idea that like that Carlin kind of could pull back, that he wasn't like, he didn't felt like he wasn't like a comedian that felt like he had to be on 24/7. But he definitely got to these moments where he would question his work or himself.
Really?
So, yeah. It's really, really fascinating. There's two parts to it. I think the first one is the longer of the two. And then once you get to the end of the first part, you're like, fuck yeah. And you want to jump into the second one.
I used one of his jokes in an inappropriate time a couple days ago. My daughter who's pregnant has to be tested for diabetes and stuff. So she has to prick her finger every day and the whole thing. And I said, well, you know what? You can prick your finger, but you can't finger your prick. And then I went, and my grandkids were. I go, I don't know why I said that, but I just, George Carlin came right.
Right.
Yeah.
You can prick your finger, but you can't finger your prick.
I quote George Carlin in what's his name all the time?
Mitch Hedberg.
Mitch Hedberg, like words to live by. Like,
mm-hmm.
I think I must say at least once a week, you know, I used to be Catholic until I reached the age of reason. That was a George Carlin line. And like I've mentioned that a few times, we get a couple weird looks. I'm like, oh, it's George Carlin. George Carlin.
Have you guys heard George Carlin talking about what's the most what's the best engine ever made?
No.
I don't.
You should look up that one, but it's basically a woman's vagina.
Oh, okay.
It's easy to turn on. It's self-lubricating. You can start with one finger. Doesn't require a lot of maintenance. It's like he goes in this whole long spiel about it. It's the best engine ever made.
he was a brilliant.
I do remember that actually. Now.
Guy.
I got to see him live in concert twice, and that's something I'll always cherish because he was something.
John
else.
Has the seven words you can't say on television. It's funny because when I was a kid, my next door neighbor got the record. I think we were like 9 or 10, something, mm-hmm. maybe a little older. And we played that part over and over again because they were saying cuss words that you weren't supposed to say. And I was like,
right.
Yeah. It's, I think you'll really enjoy it whenever you get around to watching that. Jack, I know you always have a long, long list of things, but you know, when they cover certain topics like the record or that the performance in which he's arrested for saying that profanity, he's basically arrested. So I think you'll find those moments quite enjoyable. And Chris, for you, even maybe watching like and seeing timeline wise, like when you saw him and how it lined up with certain like events in his own life, because it's I felt like it didn't hold back. I mean, it was very, you know,
I think it was showed you all of these seven.
Okay.
And then again, I saw him again, and I want to say maybe like 2006.
Okay.
Five or six.
I mean, they definitely show like his different, you know, I felt like they did a really good job of showcasing like his different kind of styles and the things that he was talking about. And man, you go back to like almost just about any time of Carlin's life and you're like, holy shit, he's talking about the same thing we're fucking dealing with still, you know? It's like, I mean, everything from, you know, prescription drugs, you know, to, you know.
Because it never ends. It's the same crap every election.
He'd be slaying on TikTok if he was alive today.
Chris Dorans mentioned his baseball versus football bit. That's excellent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, baseball. Yeah.
Football, we have a time. It's got to end. Baseball can go on forever. It may never end. It goes on.
That's you should listen to and pick up his book, Brain Droppings. It's actually fantastic. Little, like, you know, toilet room, you know, bathroom toilet break book. Just pop it right next to your toilet and read it every once in a while. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so for anybody that really enjoys George Carlin, I do highly recommend watching that documentary. It's on HBO right now. So
been watching the Magic Johnson thing on Apple TV. Interesting guy, and he's what really got the NBA going, him and Larry Bird, and then when Jordan came around. But man, he was a dick to his wife.
I mean, to Cookie.
Yeah, I mean, they were engaged like three or four times. And he kept breaking it off. And just get, nah, I don't like to. She must have really been in love with him because she just kept it. To me, it was like he didn't want anyone else to have her. He wanted, but interesting guy. I mean, he's obviously a talented basketball player, but that part kind of bugged me. But anyway. All I got.
Okay, that's just all you got.
Just kind of bugged me, man.
Have you ever guys heard? I think it's a few months old, but like they asked him, like, what was his biggest regret in his life? Not as in like personal, but like he said that he was offered 1% of Nike back in the early '80s, and he turned it down because you know Converse was it, you know, and. And Nike was nothing. And he goes, it's the biggest regret he ever made because he basically.
5.7 billion.
Yeah, billions. Yeah.
5.7 billion. Because the winning season, they show it where the guy's talking to him. And this friend of his, it might have been Cookie's dad. I mean, I can't remember who. Anyway, was acting as his agent, said, no, you got to go with Converse.
Right.
And it was like, okay. The guy goes, okay. But he didn't do Nike because, you know, no one knew what Nike was. Converse were the big deal back then. But it's like they said $5.7 billion mistake.
Jesus
Christ. Not that he's poor. I mean, he owns part of the Dodgers. He owns all this crap. I mean, he's got money. But $5.7 billion for just signing your name.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we get. That's what we get for doing this podcast. But
oh, yeah.
And pretty much, I mean, and every year, you know, I have that signing bonus.
The dividends on Jane Jack stock is just it's crazy.
So much. Roof. I mean, every time I appear on Geek Dad Life, it's like I get another percentage.
Well, do you have to keep saying it so you get more money?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. He was just like, look, if you go on the RCAD and plug the fact that you've been on my show.
Get a free Subway sandwich.
Yeah. he's going to mail me a punch card. So
well, he'll pay for half of the sandwich. Jay's kind of cheap.
No, I love talking to Jay, especially in general. I love talking Star Wars. So really? You know, even if I disagree with my co-hosts, so
you know I'm right.
No, actually, I know that you're completely wrong. But, you know, if you want to make yourself feel better. You
all
know.
Right, we got a Kim and John thing going on in here.
Who's
getting ugly?
Actually, I'm really hopeful for the Acolyte. I think it's going to be awesome. Hopefully.
Yeah. We'll could see. Be good.
Could be good. Could be rubbish. You know.
Did you see who went on stage at Celebration a couple days ago?
Well, lots of people.
No. Chopper.
Oh yeah. They confirmed Chopper and Sabine. Yeah, for Ahsoka.
For Ahsoka. I mean, it's Jack weird because really like, now.
Yeah,
Chopper.
I mean, they are allowing a mass murderer on the show.
Chopper is one of the few droids in Star Wars that just kills people and has no qualms about killing.
No
people.
Regret.
No, nothing. It's you're kind of like, oh, I thought there was like a droid protocol for this, but clearly that's off on Chopper's.
It did irk me. It's like the Twitter or Facebook. Something is like, you know, one of the stories up there is like, oh, Chopper's gonna make his first live action appearance. I'm like, no, he was in Rogue One.
Mm-hmm. The only thing is like, okay, so I guess Hera just was like, we're good, Chop. I'm done with
we're
you.
Good
go,
Chop.
We're good, Chop.
We're good, well, Chop.
Really, like Hera, you know, it's her droid. So yeah. So that's kind of where I'm like, you know.
You never know. I mean, it's been years, and you know, he could have swapped hands, and just like how C-3PO and R2 is gone.
C-3PO is basically working the Alderaan circuit there in Iraq.
Yeah, he gets around.
All right,
I have a question. Is this a kind of exciting thing you can hear on Geek Dad Life?
No, not as exciting. Way more exciting.
I don't see you know why people listen to that podcast.
Titillating.
Because, I mean, what makes Owen and Beru so interesting is that
we never record.
Yeah, we never record, but we disagree. we argue like, is this good? Is this shit? We don't know. Whereas in Jace, it's always like, oh my god, it's so good, and then the soundtrack was so good, and then the toy comes out next week, and it's like I can't listen to that. You know, it's just
so. If you want to hear more of that, tune in next week. All right, we do have some emails to get to. This one comes into someone not named Randy. It is Randy. It says results are in. Hi, Chris and the other guys. Wow.
Who's this from?
Hi, Chris and the other guys. Just
no,
wanted
who's
to say,
it? Who's it from?
Oh, I'll get to it.
Oh, we don't know yet. Okay.
Well, I said it, but you weren't paying attention. So
no, you were talking. So why would I?
Just wanted to say a special congratulations to Chris for being voted the new fan favorite.
Oh,
enjoy all the benefits, extra benefits.
When did that happen?
I didn't see that title. Poll.
Your buddy Randy.
Thanks, Randy.
Wow, new fan favorite.
Didn't know that that happened, but
was it a vote of one?
Congrats, congrats, Chris.
Feels
you
good.
Now take the number one spot,
here
and
I
you
am
become
up here the
producer. Yeah, you get to
you
hit
are now producer. Congrats! There we go. Okay.
What did I do to become the favorite?
I don't know. I didn't even know there was a poll, but I'm glad there is. I think that John, the retired guy, and all of his slander about me hating Mexicans really did me in on the polls. So I needed
it's negative. Negative campaigning always hurts.
I needed that Hispanic vote, you know, and I lost it clearly to Chris. So
you needed fact check to come out and fact check that if it's true or not.
I assume a lot of Mexicans and Hispanics admire, you know, the Massachusetts, like, you know, I don't give a fuck kind of attitude.
Well, I mean, I went from zero to hero, so quite a compelling
congrats.
Story.
You'll tell us when we're going to record next. So, good
luck,
listeners.
I guess it's never now.
Enjoy the new fan favorite.
I do think fan favorite should have to.
I'm always here.
Should have to run the show. What do you think, Matt?
I think that sounds like a plan.
Because Nick and I are never going to get it. No. So.
Yeah.
I don't even get third billing. I'm a fourth always.
Nick's trying to insure it. He's just like putting down random things, you know. Yeah. So it's like
once I get too popular, I will always say something stupid to bring it back down. Just it's just habit.
Okay, second email. It says it's all about friction. Hi, Chris, Nick,
she said.
Jack.
First billing again?
I know. Jick, Nick, Jick.
Jick?
What?
Jick.
Jicky pooey.
Jick.
Get it out. Come on.
I can do
it. Hi, Chris, Jack, Nick, fuck. Hi, Chris, Nick.
Who's Nick, fuck?
Jack and Mateo.
Nick, who are you fucking?
What brand of blue jeans do you prefer? Does choice of brand matter for the activity you plan? I mean, I can imagine that some have a lower coefficient of friction than others. Some may enhance your speed on the slopes, and some may slow you down. Now me, I'm a relaxed fit LL Bean sort of guy, aka chunky. Their words, not mine. But I don't think I would ever use them for sledding. Forever Grandito.
You gotta get the Duluth with the curve.
Yeah. My jeans have to, I get jeans to protect my shoulder, my collarbone.
That would be good.
When I'm sledding, I have to protect.
I actually wear a metal jacket now.
I only wear Muggsy jeans now. I'm obsessed with them.
Oh.
I don't care anymore. Whatever.
I used to be a big Lucky Brand fan for the longest time, and then they quit making bootcut jeans because they weren't in style. So for a while,
no wonder you weren't getting lucky.
Yeah.
They weren't style, man.
I've worn cowboy boots my entire life. How can you not have bootcut jeans? And anyway, so then I switched to Levi's for a few years. Bootcut
jeans.
But then. I switched to there's a company out of North Carolina called Bulletproof, and they're awesome. You can get, you know, any color you want jeans, and they're really good material and quality.
I heard you say Duluth Trading Post though.
Yeah, Duluth. Yeah, Duluth makes some good stuff.
I am a Duluth Trading Post convert when it comes to underwear now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Best drawers I've ever had.
I have some flannel line jeans by them for the winter, and yeah, Duluth makes some good stuff. Yeah.
Levi's works for me. I don't care. I had Jordache at one point, but that was in the 80s.
I don't actually own blue jeans, so I won't answer that question, Randito.
So, at my age, I just as long as they fit, I don't care.
This is like a fishing email.
The depressing thing is that when you haven't worn a pair of jeans in like a year, you go to put them on and you go, what the fuck? Why don't they fit? I can't even get the button on.
I suppose boot fit
jeans.
I will say though, I never understood the real benefit of a good pair of jeans until probably the last 10 years.
Oh yeah.
Like I used to always think like I can get a pair of jeans at Old Navy for, you know, $25 or $30 or whatever. I can get a pair of Levi's for $50. Shit jeans are really shit jeans.
Oh yeah.
If you put money into a pair of jeans, like a good pair of jeans, and they, like you mentioned Lucky Brands or Seven for All Mankind is another one of those higher end jean brands. Mm-hmm. This brand Muggsy that I like to wear because they're just super fucking comfortable and they last. Like I had a pair of Seven for All Mankind jeans for I think like 8 to 10 years before there was ever even a fray on them. They just lasted.
And apparently, I've never done this, but apparently, unless you just get them dirty, you're never supposed to wash your jeans. You just throw them in the freezer, and it shrinks the cotton.
Don't even throw them in the freezer.
That's what, well, the CEO or whoever of Levi said, like, you put them in the freezer. Yeah. He said it shrinks the cotton back down the way it should be, but you never wash jeans unless they're actually just dirty.
I was listening to this podcast the other day.
I've never heard that.
There's a good jean aficionado. He said that he actually wears his jeans for at least 50 wearings before washing them to get the real like fit, custom fit essentially. Yeah, you don't unless you're spilling shit on your jeans. You don't right? need to wash your jeans.
Like what?
Blood.
Like beer.
Okay.
Ketchup.
Bone chips.
Mustard.
Yeah.
Like all that type of shit.
Mayonnaise.
So sure. What? Screeching. So I got to start putting my jeans in the freezer is what you're saying.
No, just don't wash them. Yeah.
I once had some, you know, like some white paint, and it wasn't even like full white. It was like a white gel kind of like, so it wasn't like a pure white, and it just landed right there in the crotch. And I pulled them out the other day.
Can't wash them.
I held them up to my wife. I was like, well, these are fucked. Like, I'm throwing these away. Because, I mean, it was right there on the dick space. And you're like, no, I can't have white paint in the dick zone. It doesn't work. Paint on your jeans can be cool.
This guy comes so hard he goes through his jeans.
Flying to the dick zone. I don't get okay. I don't get the cut up jeans though. I just don't get it.
I don't get paying for cut up jeans.
Like, you used to have to earn that.
It's like, you know, like, no, I've had these for like 5 years and you know, now they look badass. Like, no,
they should literally be 35% off because you have 35% fewer clothing.
Yeah.
I mean, who decided, okay, we're gonna cut up these jeans and they're gonna be worth millions.
And it looks fake too. Like, I can always tell when someone bought them pre-ripped or pre like shredded. I'm like, it looks stupid.
I don't get it.
What if you were like, oh, I need the jeans that have the cum stains already on them?
Oh, you mean stonewashed jeans?
Oh, okay. That's the one.
I think those are okay, right?
We really should close out this show. I know.
No. You said like 120. It's like, that's like 15.
I said 115. We got just a little bit left.
Can I ask the listeners some advice?
Did you bring your A game with a name this week, or did you just phone it in?
I did. I got my A game.
Ooh, you self-proclaimed A game.
Oh, okay. I fucked up on Maggie's name already. Maggie.
Mm-hmm. John the retired guy says cut up jeans are the Padres hat of jeans.
Padres are in second. Giants, I don't know. They don't register. I got a Canadian geese problem.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, they are shitting like there's no, like, it's all like over. It's like my grandkids started feeding. There were like four of them. And we started feeding them.
First problem.
Now there's like 50 of them. I walked outside. It was like
they went to the geese convention and said, "Hey, these guys have got handouts."
And have you seen that when they shit? Sometimes it's like,
it's like a snake. I told my grandkids
that we can't feed them. We can't feed them. We can't feed them. And they're looking at us like,
it's like the field that I practiced rugby on in college. We called it Goose Shits Field because it was just full. It's amazing that we didn't fucking die of some weird, random fucking avian disease.
Chris, since you're the fan favorite, does your dog also like to eat goose shit?
No.
Okay. My dog, it must be a fucked up, demented dog. But he likes to go and like sniff out that goose shit and like to try to eat it. And it's always you're always kind of pulling on the leash, like, stop eating the goose shit.
You want about 50 pounds of it?
No, I'm good. I mean, I'm good.
They just did our street, repaved it, whatever.
Some kind of scary like thing. Like, I think like you could put like wolves or silhouettes of dogs or like scary like demons or Stranger Things
type thing. I don't know. I stopped some kids the other day throwing rocks at the geese.
Oh, and then
throwing rocks in my yard, you little whippersnappers.
No, they're throwing that's that overflow thing we have next to us. That's what the geese are. Oh. I go, there's a lake down there with fish, guys. But I guess they eat the grass. That's why they have the green shit. But man, there must be 30 of them now. And I'm just like going, no, I'm not feeding you anymore. Go away. Go away. So, I mean, literally, I hosed off the driveway, came back out an hour later, go, oh, come on. It's just everywhere.
So they came on your driveway.
They did. And it's in the street, too. It's just, there's green bombs in the street on this new
green
black tar street. But
like
anyway,
Ghostbusters 2 all over.
My wife goes, well, you fed them. I go,
yeah,
I know I fed them. I don't have to be told that I fed them. I know I fed them. I said,
don't
I will
just
admit
hate that.
I was wrong. See, when I'm wrong, I will admit it.
I'm not familiar with that from you, but I am familiar with the. Because
I've never been wrong with you.
Oh, yeah, is that so?
See, when I'm wrong, I will tell you, Matt. Sorry, I was wrong.
And geese, especially Canadian, they're really emotional birds, and they mate for life.
Emotional.
They really are. And like, it's illegal to kill them in Fort Collins.
I know. It's illegal here too.
Oh,
on a serious note,
can
I build a wall to keep them out?
No,
the Canadian geese.
They'll actually drive.
They're illegal migrants. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They'll tunnel under it.
Yeah.
I mean, they got here obviously in Canada.
Yeah. Yeah. Canadians. So. Canada doesn't want them. They go, oh, go to America. Go shit over there.
But hey, a lot of times, Port Collins, like the whole flock of them will just be like standing in the street or like walking across the street and people will hit them. Oh. And then it multiplies the problem because they mate for life. So if their partner dies, they just stay there and they guard the carcass.
Oh, yeah. So I saw this the other day.
So you got to kill them all.
I saw
this the other day. It was really because ducks are like this as well. I had seen a duck along the side of the road, saddest thing, and it was just kind of laying there.
Was it dead?
And then the other duck was just right next to it, like that scene from Return of the Jedi with the Ewoks. And it just took me back. I mean, like, come on, that's fucking sad. If the duck's just like quack, quack, and then the other duck's just like dead.
But then but Daisy Duck comes by and he's like, whoa, she's hot.
She said, is that Mrs. Howell over there?
What the fuck is the matter with you guys?
It was a callback for John the Retired guy there.
Yeah, you got me on fucking Return of the Jedi now, though. It is kind of bullshit. Yeah, it's like, wait. So we're led to believe an army of teddy bears already has fixed fortifications. They have one casualty in the entire battle.
Yeah.
The Empire, they just get wiped out.
Dude, it's like the Viet Cong against the U.S. forces, man. It's all an allegory for Vietnam, man. It's like some people made MASH, some people made Star Wars. Are you the
long-haired guy now from Stranger Things? The pizza delivery guy?
Yeah, I'm the pizza guy. Speaking of pizza delivery guys, I'm about ready to deliver up some patrons' names because
we're almost
at that witching
hour. Let's go. It says your self-proclaimed A-game.
Oh, well,
did Matt call his shot?
He called his shot.
Too early on that.
I
didn't get a chance to finish some of these, so just keep that in mind.
So you didn't finish them and this is your A game?
I got distracted when we were listening to all of that.
Maverick.
When Star Wars came out, I couldn't concentrate.
Fuck, I just thought of it. Tack Gun. Like that's
Tack
like
Gun. Maverick Maggie.
Yeah. Damn it. Okay, next week, guys. Next week.
John says that Mrs. Howell always seemed to be walking funny. She had part of the SS Minnow shoved up her ass, I think.
Damn, that's harsh. Okay, if you want to send in your emails to Jack, send them to rcadcast@gmail.com. We would appreciate I will read your email on the air and send you a postcard if you send me your address, except for Randy. He has reached his limit. I could send you your postcard, Randy. It's fine. So, but not if I'm not your favorite. So at this point, we'd like to thank some patrons that make this show possible.
Tack Block. If it wasn't for the fucked up green screen, you would be
That's good.
The green screen makes it look cool. Without it, not your best game.
I'll just turn off my green screen.
Can you explain to me?
The green screen's helping you. I'm just pointing that out.
What's up with Tack Block? Like, where'd you
get
Block?
I was wanting to make block letters. So, okay. All right. I see that these are going to fall under some scrutiny here. So,
we already had like a whole Top Gun
exploding Eckhart.
Why is he exploding?
Well, it's exploding.
He's going to the danger zone.
I don't see any flames. I don't see any pieces. That's just a half-assed arc.
I'll just turn off my my green screen here. So,
I'll put it back on.
Oh, okay.
How about we just forget thanking the patrons?
Here we go. See?
I mean, I would demand my money back.
Exploding Eckhart.
Okay. next up here, where did I put
just roll the credits?
Where's that?
Oh my god, that was funny.
Oh, I'm really sorry, Ed. I don't know what happened to your name. Ed, thanks a lot for all you do. Okay. You're a good guy. I wish I could find Ed's.
What the hell?
Ah, I got it. Roosted.
Roosted?
Rooster?
Okay, here we go. Okay. Here we go.
What's up, Ed? Oh, no, it is.
Jazz Joanne.
Yeah. Isn't that fun? Huh?
But what does that have to do with Top Gun or Star Wars?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Chris Jordan, producer of the year action.
Okay, here's the really good one here, and I'll put the green screen back on just so that
I can't wait.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Ooh. Maggie messed up. By supporting us, yes, she did.
Spotted liver.
I messed that one up. So I'm gonna find Ed's, okay? It's a really good one. It's real.
You said Maggie's was gonna be good.
I thought this was your A game. This is like D game.
What's your F game?
Who didn't even finish the game?
Emotional Ed.
Emotional Ed.
Why is he emotional?
He's weighed down emotionally. I thought about empathetic Ed, but then I just thought about how like he's like America and he's weighed down by all
Ed's emotional. America.
Yeah.
So was there a point in which Matt just got fucking severely high all of a sudden?
What if that happened? What if you read that as emotional ED? Emotional erectile dysfunction.
That's how I read it.
John, the retired guy, says, "Good thing this is free."
Thanks, patrons, for making this possible. This was a great show. I always love hanging out with you guys. This was hopefully one in a million.
I enjoyed it. It was good times.
I had a good time.